All right, look at verse number 15. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, you know, this is the Christmas story. It says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that wondered it, wondered at those, all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now I preached late the last year, the year before, on verse 19, and how that Mary, one of the reasons I believe, honestly, one of the reasons that God chose Mary to bring Jesus to the world was because she had no pride. It said Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She could have taken the information that she was just given, and she could have bragged about it to all the other Jewish girls that wanted to be the one to bring Jesus into the world, but she didn't. She kept it inside. She pondered it in her heart. Now, tonight I'm going to deal with Joseph. I'm going to preach a message on Joseph. And I want you to be here for that. I especially want all the dads and the husbands and the men to be here tonight and bring the ladies with you. Ladies, come. But I'm going to deal with Joseph tonight and how that Joseph was responsible for the home that Jesus was raised in. And I want to deal with that tonight. God's gave me a very special message for tonight. I don't want you to miss it. Please come. But this morning I want to deal with these shepherds and this very simple thought. Worship the King. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this great congregation of folks today. I love these people. And I pray right now that you please add your blessing onto the message today. I pray for those of our members that have had recent surgeries and medical problems that they're recovering from. I pray that you'd touch them. I pray that you'd please help those that have situations coming up. God, put a touch on them as well. But Lord, I pray in this moment, give us a few moments together that we might worship thee and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have become increasingly interested in the subject of worship, and I preached on that some here. And everybody, and I hear this phrase, it aggravates me. Well, we have our own style of worship. And what is a style of worship? That's like saying you can take your personality and modify the description that the Scripture gives us and the definitions that the Scripture gives us about worship. You can modify all of that by your own personality and preferences and characteristics and all that. I don't believe that. I believe God has a way and a mode for us to enter into. Now, will our personalities affect it? Yes. Some people like to worship with a guitar, and some people like to worship with a piano, and some people don't like guitars or pianos, and they like whatever. I mean, there is different preferences about it, but that doesn't affect what the core values of worship are. And these shepherds had a conscience, made a conscious effort. Do we know their names? No. Do we know anything about them except that they were shepherds? No, that's all we know. Now tonight I'm going to deal with Joseph and how that the only thing that we know about Joseph is what the Bible tells us. I hate to sound this way, but the Lord don't come and we're around another 100, 150 years. This earth, this population of people. I can't imagine that, but if that were to happen. As you know, and I hate to tell you this, but very few people are going to remember you. Very few. I do some ancestry and some study of cemeteries, and when I was in Kentucky last week, I did some research on the cemeteries in the area and see what last names are up there and buried, and you find all kind of different people 100 years ago, 200 years ago. I don't know anything about them. Most of them don't even have an obituary attached to their historical record. Now, hopefully, due to modern technology, all of us, when we leave this life, if we choose to have an obituary written about us or a will that we leave behind, some people will remember us for a certain period of time. But after time, very few will dig back in their memory and think about me. Very few. But I look in this Bible, and these shepherds are introduced to us. And now for over 1,900 years, well, actually now over 2,000 years, people have information about these shepherds. And they don't know their names. They don't know their preferences. They don't know what they like to eat. All we know about them is that they showed up. They showed up. I could literally, and I won't do it, I'm going a different direction, but I could preach through lunch and to the night service on the value of showing up. And how that there would have not been anybody there to bring attention to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had the shepherds not shown up. Now, I'm a firm believer that the whole country should have showed up. They should have, but they didn't. But there were some shepherds. We don't know their name. We don't know anything about their house. We don't know anything about their family. Now, I do believe these shepherds were responsible for watching over the temple sheep, the sacrificial sheep. I believe that's what their jobs was. Or you don't have shepherds keeping watch over the flock by night. They had to look at the sheep and make sure that they didn't fall and didn't get scratched and didn't get wounded, because there had to be a blemishless sheep, lambs for the sacrifices. And so the only reason that they were up in the middle of the night was to make sure that if a sheep were getting close to trip and fall, that they would watch them. But in that moment, it was no longer important that they watch and make sure the sheep didn't fall. Why? Because the Lamb of God, which taken away the sin of the world, had made an entrance into this planet, and they don't need those Old Testament sheep anymore. So they left their duties of making sure there were no blemishes or cuts or scrapes or bruises, and they went to see the one that would pay the price for all. I want you to notice a few things about this. In verse 15, I want you to see the word that came. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Okay? The word came. God used an angel to deliver it to them. Did you know that in the book of Revelation and in other places that we see the word angel, a lot of times it's talking about a preacher? Now, I would never refer to myself as an angel or any other preachers that I know. And y'all know I'm right. But the word angel simply means a messenger. These messengers had come from heaven to give them a word from God. And one of the reasons that they showed up, now undoubtedly they saw the star. Undoubtedly they saw the commotion of things taking place during that night that were very, very unusual. But the reason that they went and worshiped the King was because of the word of God that was delivered unto them. And we've got a lot of important things that happen at this church. We've got a Christmas play that's coming up, and it's fabulous. I love it. We have got good music around here. I love to hear the singing in this church. I absolutely love it. I love it when Carver takes off in between those verses and picks that guitar. I love it. I love to hear the sounds of the choir as it's coming across, whether it's here in the church or on the radio. I love it. Absolutely love it. I love to go around the building and know that we've got Sunday school teachers that are doing their job. I love that we have fellowships in the fellowship hall. I love it. Absolutely love it. I love how we play cornhole out here and nobody cusses. Better stay that way. I love how that we can talk till 3 or 4 in the afternoon and nobody gets a dirty joke. Nobody pulls out their dirty pictures and shows them around. This is a safe haven. And I love that. But did you know that all of that is only a branch or a part of something that's way more important than that? And that is the Word of God that we read with each other, the Word of God that we hear taught, the Word of God that is preached, the Word that is sung about, and the Word that is worshiped. And that's why we're here. We worship the King because of the Word. If we had no Word, if we had nothing, if we didn't have the Bible, if we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't know what to do. That's why there's so many people around the world. It breaks my heart to know today that there are still millions. I think of Danny Foss right now. Danny Foss has had some visitors come to his church, And that's just a wonderful thing. But you know, they have very little access to the Scripture. They've only got about 5 books of the Bible that they can read. And he can't offer them a Bible that contains the story of David and Goliath. There's not one. There's not a purified copy of the Scripture in that language. He cannot offer the people a Bible that tells the story of creation. He can translate it to them. But they don't have a copy like you've got sitting in your lap and like you will throw on your nightstand table and forget about it. There are people all around the world that don't have it. And because of the Word, they came and worshiped. Number 2, not only the Word that came, but the worship they chose. Verse 15 again. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, the worship they chose. They're in, and I was meditating on this week, and I was somewhere where I couldn't get my Bible. I couldn't get to it. I've memorized this 20 years ago. So I had it rolling over in my head, and I couldn't remember exactly what this said. So I went straight home, went inside, got my Bible, opened it up to Luke 2 just to see who initiated it. I said, surely one of those, the Bible tells us that one of them, you know, led the way. There's nothing in here about one of them leading the way. The shepherds said one to another, which means they made a unanimous decision. And I'm not going to do anything foolish today, but I would love to walk around the church today and ask you individually, and I won't take the time to do it, but I'd love to walk around the church today and ask you individually if you are interested in this church being a unified place of worship. And I would say that we could all agree without argument that that's what this place needs to be. It does not need to be a concert. This does not need to be a place of entertainment, a place of fleshly gratification. This is a place of worship. And those shepherds were with the sheep. Wait a minute. Surely one of them told the other ones to do that. No. The shepherds said one to another. And there was no argument. There was no discussion as to what would take place or what would happen. They just did and went and obeyed based on what they were told out of the mouth of God through the Word. That's all that they did, exactly what they were told to do. It's amazing to me how that we live in a society where people don't want the Bible to control them. They want to do as society teaches us, to be our own man and to pull ourselves up and to have enough self-confidence to make it through this life, when in reality the Bible teaches us to get down and see Him up, to see Him high and lifted up. And if you will teach your children to keep themselves humble and to put God first in their life, you will have fewer tears on the altar begging them to come back. Not zero, but fewer. You put it in them while they're young, and they will habitually carry that in their mind, whether they carry that with their body or not. They'll know what's right. And the burden will be off your hands. The worship they chose, I love that, they chose unanimously. If you'd like for Arrington Branch Baptist Church to be a place of worship, just raise your hand. Just before, raise them both. Just worship them. Just hold them up. I think it's what we ought to do, don't you? Can I get a motion? Second? All in favor? Hallelujah. You didn't do your leg like I did mine. The worship they chose. I'm glad I'm saved, ain't you? The Word that came, the worship they chose, the solidarity they cherished. Look at what it says in the next phrase. It said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. That word let in your Bible, I love it. 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 I love the King James Bible. I'm glad we don't use nothing else. The word let right here means don't allow anything to stop you. Let. Allow. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us go. They unanimously decided that they were going to go where God was. That's what I want. I want to be where God is. They didn't say, hey, let's go look at those stars. Let's go find that. Let's go make sure that we see those angels. Man, those angels were amazing.
Let's find those angels. Where did they go? Because that's what we would do, right? Man, the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and all earth peace and goodwill toward men. A multitude of the heavenly hosts, angels flying around where they were at with the sheep. Surely we'll go feed. Well, let's go see the angels. Or let's go down there to the temple and tell the high priest about it. Let's go find the high priest and see what the high priest has to say about this. They didn't need a fake high priest. They didn't need a Pharisee or a Sadducee. They had a word from God. I don't need what somebody else has an opinion about. I don't need somebody's fake rituals or fake whatever. I've got God, and that's enough. That's enough. And I want to go where God is, and I've got all that I need to get me there. They would have never experienced worship in the presence of God had they not unanimously decided, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem. Well, we'll stop along the way and see what we can drum up. We'll see if we can figure out about these angels coming. No, they didn't spend any time figuring. Said, boys, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You know what's fascinating to me, Isaiah? That whole Bible, every word of God is pure. Everything in there is pure. They didn't say, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the angels told us about. Did they say that? That the angels told us about? What did they say? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which who? The Lord hath made known unto us. There wasn't even any glory brought to the angels. No glory for the angels. Bless their hearts. They didn't want any anyway. They took what the angels told them and credited God with it. Now we got and I'm going to plug this till the day I die. We got a bunch of crazies out there that lift their names up. Me, all these. And throw your money at me and I'll just preach more. There was no attention. We don't even know the angels' names. In this story, we have no idea who they are. And they're still over there. The solidarity they cherished. Then there's the scene that compelled them. Look at the next phrase. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. This thing which has come to pass. They'd never seen anything like that before. They'd never heard of it. I mean, they have been told the prophecies and the stories, no doubt, but they'd never seen it before. You and I ought to desire God that we can see something from Him. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? Or God said to Jeremiah? God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. I'm talking about a man of God. Talking to a man of God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just like the shepherd said, we're seeing something we ain't never seen before. I'm hearing about something I've never seen before. I'm getting to go worship something that I've been waiting for, but I don't know anything about it yet. You and I, the deeper we dig into this word, the more we come to know Him, the more we come to know about Him, the more opportunity we have to worship Him. The scene that compelled them. Then there was the God that called them, said, which the Lord, capital L, little O-R-D, which the Lord hath made known unto us. How about that? Which the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, what is that? That's talking about God being in charge. The Lord, the one that is over all, made it known. Wait a minute. Let's just say there's a billion people on the planet at that time. I don't know how many they are. Let's just say there's a billion. Why did he go to the shepherds? This is just my opinion. But I'm going to tell you why I believe he went to a bunch of rednecks. Y'all okay? He went to a bunch of rednecks because they weren't too busy to drop what they were doing and go see what was happening. Did they have an important job? You better believe watching those sheep was important. Probably the most important job there was. But those shepherds didn't care. God said to do it. They dropped everything and did it. Blows my mind. If God says do this and do this and do this, you say, why is God not using me? Well, make yourself usable and God will wear you out. I promise you, you'll end up burning the candle at all seven ends.
You make yourself usable and God will wear you out. And those shepherds, all they were doing was what they were supposed to do. God found somebody to do it. Hey, wait a minute. It was in the middle of the night, wasn't it? Look, keeping watch over their flock by night. I wonder if he'd have woke one of us up. Listen now. You say, well, I wonder why there's sometimes I just can't sleep at night. Maybe God wants you to be a prayer warrior. I wonder if God went into Bethlehem and a little closer and went into one of those village houses and walked in the door and had one of them angels knock on the door and wake them up. I wonder if they'd have been okay with getting out of bed and getting ready and going over to see the Lord. I wonder if they didn't care about a baby in a manger somewhere. I wonder if they would even care about it. Those shepherds heard the word. They saw something they'd never seen before. They dropped everything important to them and they went to worship the King, the God that called them. Then in verse 16, the going that they continued, verse 16, and they came with haste. that's the society today, right? I mean, everybody is hurrying. But is everybody hurrying to do something for the Lord? Everybody's hurrying. Find the next deal. Do the next thing. Make it to the next appointment. Get to the next game. Get to the next important event. But is anybody jumping out of bed on Sunday morning and saying, kids, let us now go. We're going to go and we're going to see the Lord. We're going to come with haste. Now, if you're like me, there are times that you come with haste because if you don't, you'll be late. Can I get a witness on that? That ain't what this is talking about, though. The word haste means that they didn't waste any time. They put it on the top of their priority list and they got at it. This is the thing that we need to do. This is something we need to be in on it. I'm going to make this the number one thing. You know, we're real bad to make it the number one thing sometimes. The number one thing sometimes. Or to say, well, boys, maybe we should go. There's nothing wrong with what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with it being this way. You just need to not do it. Then, hey, maybe we should stop and get us a Whopper. I love Whoppers with no mayonnaise. Amen. Buster, help me. You need to start amening me more on that stuff. I know me and you are alone, but we're going to make it. You want to stop and do this and do that? And there have been times that God said, Coach, I want you to do this, and I've dragged my feet. Lord, I want to do it. Lord, I got this over here to do. Lord, I got that over there to do. The angels told them to go, and they came with haste. To see what? A little baby lying in a manger. Not a lot of rough shepherds would have been very interested in seeing a new baby. But this ain't just any baby. This ain't just any newborn. This is not just the next one. This is the only one. The going, they continued. Then we see the gift that they claimed. It said, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What did they find? They found the gift. They were one of the first ones to lay eyes on the King. The whole world would soon come to worship in the millennial kingdom. The one that would rule and reign with a rod of iron. They're one of the first ones to meet Him. You and I have a great, and I know this is simple, but you and I have such a great opportunity. We have you moms and you dads, listen to me. You have a tremendous opportunity to take your family and to teach them how to love God and how to worship God and how to prioritize God. You have that opportunity. Don't let that slip through your fingers. Don't let the busyness of society and the problems of life drain the spirituality out of you. Teach your children. Bring them up. Keep them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because what your kids see you prioritize is what they're going to think is most important. And my kids know that if I prioritize things over my church, those things are more important than God is.
All right? The gift they claimed. Then we see the testimony that they communicated. Look at verse 17. I love this. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They saw something they'd never seen before, and then they went and told about it. Now here's what I'm praying happens at this church. Sooner than later. I mean, I hope it happens real quick, pretty soon. In God's timing, but I'm hoping God's timing soon. Is that okay? I'm hoping that God will do something that surpasses anything we've ever seen. I'm thanking God for doing things that I know He can do and that I believe He will do. And when those things happen, we've seen it here. We've seen God change the lives of people and it make it around in the community. What in the world is going on? We know that God can do it. We've seen Him do it. Even in your own life. I wonder how many today of you, 10 years ago, your family or your friends would have never thought you'd have been sitting in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning. I wonder how many of your friends, when they hear about you from years ago, they think, what in the world? You mean to tell me Brian Coates is at a Baptist church now? Is that where he... This is somebody different. This is somebody different. Show me a picture. Yeah, that's him. He goes to church? Well, let's just be honest with each other. Let's just say 10 years. And if 10 years ago, somebody would have been surprised that you would be in church today, just raise your hand. 10 years ago, is anybody in the building? All right, dozen or so. Let's go back 20 years. I wonder if this excites me. Let's go back 20 years. Anybody in the building? 20 years ago, if somebody knew you was in church today, they'd be surprised. 20 years ago. Anybody got some in here today? Let's go to 30 years. 30 years ago, anybody in the building? Somebody been shocked if they'd known you was in church 30 years ago. Anybody? Come on now. Yes, several of you. Hey, God can! God can! God can! God can! And I wonder how many people out there were saying, oh, hey, they'll never be in a church. Ain't no way they'll ever be in a church. There's no way they'll ever be in a church. Somebody said that about you. Somebody said it about you. And guess where you're at today? Look at what it says. Verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What's the saying? The saying that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born in a lowly manger. So here they are, they're telling everybody, hey, y'all ain't going to believe what we just saw. What'd you see? We saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just saw the King of the universe. No, you did not. Don't tell those lies. Don't you tell me no story. Yes, yes, we saw the King of the universe. Well, where's he at? Well, he's down there in a barn. The King of the universe is not in a barn. Yes, the King of the universe is down there in that stable, lying in a manger. That's where he's at. Well, why in the world, or even some say it was a cave, why in the world would this old creepy looking damp, dark cave have the King of the universe? Because he came unto his own. From a heavenly place, he became lower than the angels so that he could suffer everything in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I just saw the King of the universe. Where was he at? Well, he showed up at Arrington Branch Baptist Church. We were singing, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And maybe you felt a little bit of a breeze in here. There have been services in the past that I can remember. God, the God of heaven, there wasn't no wind inside these four walls. We didn't have any fans turned on. But as sure as my soul liveth, my God is alive and He breathes on us. And I thank God for that. Let's see this thing. Let's see it. Now, they didn't have to climb any steps to get into a grand hall and have some... Oh, my soul. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach on this all day. Anybody could go up here and go into one of these barns. Anybody. What's your certification to be in this barn? Well, I was just wondering what was in there. What's your...
what qualifies you? Now, you don't want to go on somebody else's property, but you should be real with me. What disqualifies anybody from walking in a barn? I cannot. Tyler, I can't walk in the White House today. I can't get in. I can't even get through the gate unless they know everything about me and I can't get in the White House. I can't even go into the Buncombe County Courthouse without walking through a machine and being scanned. There's places that I can't go. If Jesus had been born in a palace or in the Taj Mahal, they'd have had a security clearance to get everybody in and out of there. But here come some lowly shepherds with sheep manure on their boots. They didn't have to knock on no doors. They didn't have to get security clearance to go into the palace. They didn't have to wait until their name was called. There's the manger. I'm going to see this thing. I'm going to see this thing that these angels told me about, and they just walked right in. Do we have any information here that they had to have security clearance or a background check? Why? Because Jesus wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in some government hall somewhere. He wasn't born in a high place. He was born in a low place. So that the lowest of the low, if he had to crawl, if he had to get on his belly and scoot like a worm, he could still get. And even the manger, it wasn't in a raised bed. It was in a place low enough for a dirty old sheep to stick his mouth into and eat some straw. Sheep don't get too tall. It's about like eating off the ground. Why? Because he came as low as he had to go to get to where I was at. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. And he was born in a place that was low enough that I could get to. The testimony they communicated. Lastly, the truth that captivates. Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, it's interesting about this. When you're wondering about something, you have to make a choice. So the shepherd said, we just saw the King of the universe in a manger. So they're wondering about it. They're scratching their chin. They're thinking, And they can either choose to believe or choose to deny. And everybody in here, hey, whether it's salvation or worship, I'm telling you about something that really, really happened. I'm telling you about somebody that's not dead. I'm telling you about the King of the universe. And you can either believe it or you can deny it. I'm here to tell you that God can save anybody, anywhere. You can believe it or you can deny it. I'm here to tell you that God can clean up the life of anybody, anywhere. You can believe it or you can deny it. You can scratch your chin and wonder and deny it or believe it. I'm here to tell you that God can take care of your family if you'll be faithful to Him. And you can believe that or you can deny it. I'm here to tell you that God can help your marriage get stronger. That jerk, he's a loser. God can help anything. And you can believe it or deny it. I'm here to tell you that God can bring your kids into being holy adults in a very unholy world. You can believe that or deny it. I'm here to tell you that God can take care of every problem in your life. You can believe that or you can deny it.